See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse!
There was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
I thought for a minute you weren't sure whether you were one of our other hosts.
I may not be.
Yeah.
But right now I am.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but this week we have a guest filling our empty seat.
Look at that.
Yeah. It's Catherine Horan, who is
Catherine the Great.
Catherine the Great, yes. Smattering of applause for Catherine, by the way. And Catherine is one of our OG listeners from back in the day when we had our little promo with the Ugly Mug Coffee Shop. I think that's how you found out about
that's
the show,
exactly
right?
That's exactly how I found it, yeah.
Yeah, and she's been a loyal listener and follower, and she even attended my book signing I had at Dark Delicacies here a couple of years ago. My cat is now meowing right now. Thank you, Birdie.
Voicing displeasure.
Yeah, voicing. Yeah. He does not like. Actually, he's not a big fan, Catherine.
Sorry.
He feels
Pay
he
no
should be
to
in
the critics. Yeah.
Yeah. this is going to be great. But out here in California, we're actually kind of living in our own little horror movie with the fires. And Catherine and I are both in Burbank, and which we established in take one. But we haven't actually, you know, really had any problems here. I've got a scratchy throat, Catherine. You probably
sinus congestion.
Yeah, and it's just the air isn't great, yeah, and so anytime I'm outside for any period of time, I feel like I'm getting a scratchy throat. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, you know, our heart goes out to everyone who has gone through. Lost homes, lost places. We know a lot of people who've lost homes or lost businesses or been, you know, very affected. Our own Matt Van Winkle, who is the star of On Halloween Night and one of the stars of The Foot of the Bed, he actually had to leave his home last week when the Hollywood fire broke out because he lived just south of there. So, thoughts and prayers to everybody out here who's going through it. So
just in case anybody's concerned, I'm okay.
Yeah. Joe is fine.
I'm safe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not a lot of fires here in the Midwest.
No. And you guys haven't had
I've heard it's been really cold everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
It's 9 degrees right now.
Yikes.
Can't
make a whole lot of fires in 9 degrees. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Birdie he's even shocked by that number.
Yeah. He wants to move, pack up his kitty litter and move to the Midwest.
Yeah. He does.
You need a squirt bottle.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I need that. Well, there is one around here somewhere, but I don't know where it is. Okay.
He's probably hidden it.
Yeah, he has. He's like, no more at the squirt
Never
bottle.
Never again.
I don't even know if we have one, but Joe.
Happy New Year. What?
Happy New Year.
Is this
the
first time we've recorded in 2025, right?
The first time we've recorded. Yeah. The last episode came out in 2025, the top 10 list, but we didn't record it in 2025. So yeah.
Because I have two New Year's resolutions.
What's that?
That I would like to put on the record. One of which you could care less about, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I only have two.
I know. And I guarantee you, I know exactly what they are. Cause I think you've had these before.
Oh, well then you tell me.
Drink
this
more.
This will make it much more interesting.
Drink more and gain weight?
No, that just happens naturally.
Oh, okay.
That's neither one of them.
You used to have your New Year's resolution used to be something
drink
like
more
that.
Gain weight.
Or it was something
God, I,
like the
sure
opposite.
It was me?
Exercise less and drink more? Maybe it was that. I don't remember.
Could be.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I was going to give up giving up stuff for Lent. Anyway, yeah. my actual New Year's resolutions, first of which is I'm daring myself to again listen to the top 500 albums of all time in air quotes. Oh. Brought to you by Rolling Stone.
That's right.
Because they've updated it twice since the last time I proved that they had their head completely up their ass. Mm-hmm. Nobody. Anyway. So I'm trying that again. But the second one, which you would be interested in, is I am bound and determined to shift my wares to Letterboxd.
Excellent.
In 2025.
I love it, Joe. In fact, that gets not just a smattering of applause. That gets a full-on ovation, Joe. Very happy about that.
I'm still using IMDb naturally for references, research, and whatnot, but the primary source of my reviews and my list of movies throughout the year are all going to reside on Letterboxd, at least for this year.
Excellent. Yeah, I actually am a patron member on that. And so it's, I don't know, it's only like $20 a year and you get,
I can't afford that.
You get some fun little perks with it. And so I like it. You can use Birdie. Will you stop?
Birdie uses IMDb.
God damn it. And I don't think Michelle's even home yet. Cause normally he gets home and Michelle he gets like this when Michelle gets home, but no, she's still not here yet. So anyway, and I put his food out. I don't know what's going on, Joe.
I think his watch stopped.
But I highly recommend using Letterboxd. I like its list abilities. And do you use Letterboxd, Catherine?
I don't, but everyone's talking about it. So I might need to jump on that too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. And if you do get on it, or anybody out there who is on it or looking to get on it, you can look for me, look for Joe. We're both on there. I think I'm under, I'm just under Matthew Speak. So it's pretty easy. And Joe is under.
Also known as Matt.
Also known as Matt.
My J-Jans.
J-Jans.
J-J-A-N-Z. Yeah. Do you want my social security number?
Yeah. Yes. And your license and all that.
There's maiden name. Yeah.
Credit card numbers.
But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've had an account for a couple of years. I just never used it, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. It's a wonderful
New Year's
service.
Resolutions. Yeah.
Excellent. To get on. So what was it again? It was get on Letterboxd, and the other one was. What was
listen
the other
to the top 500? Listen to the top 500 albums of all time.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how many of those are actually going to be different?
Not a whole lot, but it gives me something to do. I sit at a desk all day, and private office, and I've got Apple Music subscription. So, what else am I going to do?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, I can get through like four or five albums in a day easily.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't have time. I mean, I can't really, I could, I guess, play music, but I'm not really listening to it or whatever. And then a lot of those albums would be stuff I just would not want to listen to at all.
Well, I figured if it's good enough for it, like the first five top 500 lists that I tried this with a couple years back had like four Randy Newman albums. Nobody needs that much Randy Newman. There's no way he could have four albums in the top 500. Yeah, so that's why I said the hell with it. But I checked this one, and there's only one Randy Newman album.
Oh, so wow, they really knocked him down. When and the last time you did it, that wasn't that long ago that you did this.
Well, I did it like 3 years ago, but it turns out the list that I used, even that one was outdated. Like there was a more updated one that I should have used. But when I found the one that I did, I printed it off and I didn't look anywhere else. I just started crossing them off as I went.
Are you sure that one wasn't? Are you sure that one wasn't Randy Newman's top 500 movies?
I'll have to check the
video
paperwork.
Albums.
I don't know. Yeah.
So
that's mine, Catherine.
Catherine, what are your New Year's resolutions?
Didn't really make any official ones. I do want to try and make more of an effort to see more movies in the theater.
Yeah,
that's kind of with COVID that really took a backseat and. Yeah, it's like, you know, going back, it's an enjoyable experience most of the time.
do you have an AMC has that monthly thing you pay 20 yes. bucks?
Yeah, we had that years yeah. ago. We canceled it during the pandemic and we decided, you know what, let's try that again. So we figure as long as we see at least two movies a month, it pays for itself.
Yeah. So it's true.
Trying to get back into that.
Yeah, two movies a month and it's paid for. So it is. It's a great deal. And and then you also get I didn't realize this. One of the guys who was selling me popcorn one time last summer, I think, or spring, he told me, you know, you've got rewards. You earn rewards as you buy stuff.
Yes.
And I didn't realize that. And I had all these rewards stacked up. I bought like a couple free movies for Michelle and popcorn. I mean, I had all this money in rewards there. So
yeah, they've got some nice perks for sure.
Yeah. So definitely worth it.
Mm-hmm.
As for me, yeah, I'm trying to lose weight, but that's always, probably my major resolution that I'm thinking of this year is to try to pick up a book instead of picking up my phone during times when I'm just wasting time. Like, you know,
like a fitness plan thing.
Well, that's not a fitness plan. No. Well, the books are heavier. Yeah. Trying to pick up stacks of books and lift them. Yeah. But so I guess that's a big one is trying to read more at times, you know, like if you're waiting in line, you're waiting someplace, whatever, and you just pick up your phone. There's never anything good that comes out of that, you know, almost never. Unless the only good stuff is you get a notification for, like, you know, when Joe texts me, you know, or calls me just to hear my voice.
Everybody loves that. Yeah.
So
Birdie's New Year's resolutions.
Birdie's New Year's resolutions is obviously to talk more during our episodes.
Stand up for himself more.
Yeah. And you know,
be opinionated.
It's like, God damn it, why is my name Birdie?
Yeah.
You know,
it's a girl's name.
I know. All right. So, Joe, have you watched anything new?
Why would you name me after what I hunt and eat? Have you met my son, Chicken?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You asked a question.
Joe, what have you watched lately?
What have I watched?
Anything new?
Yeah, a couple of things, actually. First was, I watched a movie from 2023, I believe it was on Hulu, called What You Wish For. Either of you? Blank faces? No?
I have to look it up because it sounds familiar.
Is the story, 2023. It's called What You Wish For. It is the story of a gentleman who was a chef. He gets kind of finagles his way to this resort-ish type, very highfalutin dinner that he has to cook for like the insanely 1% of the 1% type people.
Like kind of like you,
kind of like the menu, except it's told by the chef's point of view. And then there's the topic of what he has to cook for them, which I will let your minds wander. I'm not going to spoil it. It was good. It was a very good movie. I can't say as much for the dinner, but Nick Stahl, who you guys may remember from, I believe he was in an older John Connor in one of the later Terminator movies.
Yeah, he was in Terminator 3.
Okay. He's our chef.
Sin City too. He might have played the yellow guy.
So anyway, he's the star of the show and he has to prepare a meal. This is so simplistic. He has to prepare a meal for some really, really rich people and he can't get out of it. And I can't tell you any more than that. Other than I think you should watch it. If you have Hulu, you should certainly check it out.
That is one that I've seen. I've seen the little whatever thumbnail on there that I just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. I did a review, an official review of that I typed up myself and it's in Letterboxd.
Oh, beautiful.
So if you follow me on Letterboxd, you can see what I said about it.
I will look
it up. Amazing. It's like IMDb, but social.
Yeah.
So fantastic. And then also just because it came out again. I ended up watching Irreversible, the straight cut.
Yeah.
Which is the horrific French extreme film Irreversible, except it is recut in chronological order for the evening. And I really just did it primarily as an experiment to see if I would, I don't want to say the word like, but I would say appreciate the movie more, because you can't like this without being certified, because it's just so disturbing. Anyway, I did find out, me personally, I prefer the original cut, where it's all backwards and out of sync. Yeah. And it's primarily because at the beginning of the movie, at the beginning of the original Irreversible, where you're seeing the end of it, they're playing those really low vibrational tones, the like 27 megahertz, whatever it was. We discussed this when we watched it originally. It's just such an off-putting, really low bass sound that confuses you and you already sets you off on edge to begin with. And then you see all these things unveil to you about what happened in the, it's like you walk into a room and somebody immediately punches you in the face. And then it just, you know, that I prefer the original Irreversible. When the straight cut, when it goes chronological, it's
I heard that they cut out the rape scene isn't as long in the,
I've heard that. I don't know that I would agree with it, even if somebody did prove it to me, because it's still just so long and so unbearable and hard to watch. If they did, they couldn't have cut much out, because you see everything. But anyway, I hope this isn't ruining it. When you find out about her pregnancy test, it's so much more impactful in the original film than it is in the straight cut. So that's just one more punch in the face, I guess, if anything, the way they did it originally. So that's it. If you haven't seen Irreversible, nobody should have to watch that. But if it's still, it's an interesting film. Yeah. So I guess in, as far as that standpoint, I think you should watch it. But if you, if you haven't seen either, it's a definitely a difficult one to watch. But if you haven't seen either and you want to watch one, I would highly recommend the original, not the straight cut.
So yeah,
that's it.
Well, a little update over here. Birdie took a dump in the litter box, and it's one of the smelliest things I've ever smelled in my life. It's,
I was wondering
so
why
bad.
You're covering your nose while I was talking. I thought you had like a nosebleed or something.
Yeah, I think this was to get back at me because I threw my sweats at him after he meowed the last time.
That's what you get.
And he ran in there and took a dump, and it smells so bad. Sweet Jesus. Catherine, have you watched anything? Or I'm sorry, Joe, is that the end of your...
Yeah, that was it. That was it for me.
Catherine, have you watched anything?
Yeah, I watched a couple things. We watched season 2 of Squid Game that came out at the end of last year. You know, it's fun. We enjoyed the original, or the first season, I guess I should say. And this just kind of builds on that. It takes place after the events of the first season. But it kind of stops in the middle. It leaves you on a cliffhanger. And it says more episodes are coming later in the year. So,
I see.
We got to wait to finish it, but it was enjoyable. It's fun.
Don't you like the way they cut that? Wouldn't you agree that like the next episode should be like still season 2, but like episode 9, like the second half?
Right.
Because I don't feel like they finished a thought in this. It really does seem like what you said. They just sort of abruptly said, this is like season 2A. And then next will be season 2B.
Yes.
That I would be okay with for how they ended it.
So, but yeah, we had fun watching that. The other thing we watched, it came out on Shudder last week, and it was called Getaway.
Oh, with Nick Frost?
Yeah. It's actually kind of a combination of two of the movies we watched this week. But yeah, it's a horror comedy with Nick Frost, and it's this British family that goes to this remote island in Sweden for a getaway, and the people that live on the island are maybe trying to kill them. So it was goofy and silly. It's a good time. Huh. I'd recommend it.
And what was that on?
That's on Shudder.
Shudder. Okay. Yeah. Anything else?
No, that was it.
Yeah. The only thing I haven't really watched much since we did a true crime series on John Wayne Gacy that popped up on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's brand new or I think it's new. And it was pretty interesting. It's 6-parter. I'm not certain that it really needed 6 parts, but probably would have been better off with 4. Maybe 5, but it's fine. I mean, it's not like we were bored at all, but it, you know, after it's over, you're kind of like, well, you know, they went over a few things more than once, but very interesting. That guy is, and it had a lot of, it was basically, I think it's the John Wayne Gacy tapes or something. Mm-hmm. Somebody did an interview with him on video before, you know, back in the, I can't remember when it was, maybe in the 90s, early 2000s. And this is basically, or I think it must have been the 90s because I think he was, I don't remember when he was executed. But
you know what?
Anyway.
Let's stop. Let's figure this out. Get your calendars out. We're going to figure out exactly when. Yeah.
Anyway, I got my dates mixed up. I'm sorry. I can't think straight because the poop in here, the smell is awful. It's really affecting me. It's terrible. Like this cat has the worst poop ever. Yeah. Anyway, we watched that. That's pretty good. And also, I don't know if I mentioned it, but the show Hysteria on Peacock is really, really good. And that has Bruce Campbell in it. There's a few people I recognize that, you know, that aren't like big stars or anything, but obviously Bruce Campbell's in it and it's got a great cast. It's set, I believe in the 80s. And yeah, and it's about this group of kids who it's sort of a satanic panic kind of thing in the town. And this group of kids decides to start, you know, they're in a band. And so they kind of act like they're Satanists to get an edgy following, you know, and the kids kind of get into it. But meanwhile, there's actual Satanists in the town and things are happening and the kids in this band get blamed for it all. It's really good. And the music's great. The band is actually a lot of fun. It's a really like just joyful show. It's great. I highly recommend that one. And I hope they bring it for, I haven't heard whether they announced a second season yet or not, but I really hope that they do bring it back because it's so much fun. It's a great show and there's room for it to go. It does have a storyline that it ends, you know, it does resolve itself by the end, but there's room for more. And it does end with like, you know, there could be obviously more stuff happening in a second season. So highly recommend that. That's Hysteria and it's on Peacock. But other than that, I've really only watched the movies in front of us today or this week. So, all right. Well, that brings us to our pick of the week, and that is my pick, and it's Brit horror. Joe, did you know we were watching some British horror this week? Come on, Joe, do it.
Yes, I did.
You know, we've been watching Parks and Rec lately because we haven't never seen that before. So we've been watching that, and you are very much... What's his name?
I'm Ron Swanson.
You are Ron Swanson. Yeah. Like you are Ron Swanson, for God's sake. It's amazing. Yeah.
I need a much thicker mustache and much more hair.
You've got the tone down for sure. So. Yeah.
Anyway. I celebrate that guy's entire lifestyle.
Yeah, he's the actor too. I can't remember his name now, but he's
Nick
so
Offerman.
Great.
He actually grew up in was it like Morris, Illinois, like an hour and a half? He grew up like 10 minutes outside of where I grew up.
I am not at all shocked that he is a Chicago guy. You know, he's a Chicago area guy.
Yeah.
Or Midwestern, whatever. I've
read all three of his books. He's a woodworker. He's a fantastic guy.
All right. Well, let's start things off.
Hey, I got a question first.
Yeah.
Are we spoiling any of this? All of it? Some of it? None of it?
any of these movies, like Shaun of the Dead. I would imagine everyone should have watched Shaun of the Dead by now, so I don't think there's any spoilers.
You get no sympathy for me if you haven't seen Shaun of the Dead, but I was thinking more of the Kill List.
Yeah, well, that's what we're starting off with, is Kill List. And
it's 14 years old.
Yeah, we might as well. If you don't want this to be spoiled for you, it is. I had never seen this movie before. But it is hard to talk about, with especially in terms of its horror, without spoiling it to some degree.
I only want to spoil the ending, but that's kind of redundant.
Yeah.
I only want to spoil the opening credits.
Yeah.
Those are the people that made the film.
I mean, I guess so. If you want to watch Kill List and you haven't already, then skip past this. Skip, you know, usually our reviews last about 20 minutes. Maybe skip ahead to the next movie. So
just turn the volume down.
Yeah, you could just sit silently for 20 minutes in your car. Yeah. So Joe, what did you think of, well, let me start it off. Kill List is from 2011. Yeah. It is directed by Ben Wheatley, who also, directed the Meg 2 of all things. And In the Earth, which is a movie from a couple of years ago that I actually really liked. It was kind of a bizarre, eco horror tale. And I really liked that one. And let me think. I thought there was something else. And he did some episodes of Doctor Who. A Field in England. That's right. I haven't actually seen A Field in England, but he did that one, which is also kind of a folk horror film as well. So, and then it stars. There's nobody really, you know, famous in this. I think. What's his name? Michael Smiley. I've seen him in things, certainly. But in terms of the main characters, the wife, I've seen her in some things, but she's not, you know, a big star or anything. Neil Maskell plays the main character, and he's been in a lot of stuff, but not necessarily as the main character. So what's it about? Well, nearly a year after a botched job, a hitman takes a new assignment with the promise of a big payoff for three killings. What starts off as an easy task soon unravels, sending the killer into the heart of darkness. So this is such a strange movie in terms of how it unfolds, because it starts off with this weird high tension dinner party where the husband and the wife of our main characters, they are kind of just at each other's throat constantly, and
it's completely her fault.
What do you mean?
Well, who serves gravy in Pyrex?
Oh, that's right.
You got to put it in a gravy boat. That's what they're there for.
He was pretty mad about that Pyrex gravy, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And he hasn't really worked, and they're running out of money and all that stuff. So there's a lot of tension there. And his buddy, who's also a hitman, comes over with his, I guess, newish girlfriend. And then it goes from there, and he winds up taking a job with his buddy, and the story really starts to get strange after that. But it's a lot of scenes, you know what I mean? The flow of it is unusual, and it kind of cuts to a scene and then cuts to the next scene, and it's kind of hard to, it almost in a way sneaks up on you by the end, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, this kind of movie. So, Joe, what did you think of Kill List?
I really enjoyed it, but I will admit that the first, I don't know, three-fourths of this movie, I was questioning the entire time, why are we watching this? Uh-huh. This is not a horror film. I didn't get it. I'm looking at this more of an action film, you know, like a Den of Thieves type of thing. It's just a bunch of hitmen going out on a job. And I could not figure out, and this is one of my notes, I don't understand why they were torturing the guy that was the librarian. I'm like, if they're just going to kill him, which I thought was the motive of all this, why would you torture him? Because you've broken into his home already.
Well, they were they wanted to know where the safe was, I guess.
Right. But they could have looked for the safe themselves.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, done something. They just seemed to be attracting too much attention to themselves. And then I realized after
yeah,
it didn't really matter.
Right.
None of these kills really seem to matter because this is all just a plot for the cult that's trying to recruit them. I get that now. Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert. although there's some holes in that plot too, about like this whole thing was the cult's idea. I can't imagine that the cult was planning for them to hide out in the woods for such a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, some of that seemed a little convoluted, but I get where they're coming. The whole reason I wanted to spoil it is because I just wanted to say the ending was a very Serbian film ending. For those of you that have seen that.
Yeah.
Is that.
Yeah, it is.
Should I go into that more or is that just, should I leave it there?
I mean, we told people to skip ahead if they don't want to hear. So,
when he gets sort of recruited by this cult, he's got to fight this creature beast type thing at the end that it's just this muffled mass of a person in a sheet and ends up stabbing it to death. And turns out after the sheet's been removed that it's his wife and son that he killed. And now he's part of the cult. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Although for as psychotic as Jay or Neil Mascal was being, I don't know that they would have had to have hide it. They could have probably just told him, hey, we'll give you whatever you want. Just kill your wife and kid. And he probably would have done it. They didn't need the charade. Mm. But
I don't know if he would have killed his wife and kid without knowing who it was. But yeah,
if she's going to serve gravy in a Pyrex, they got it coming.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess so.
Strike three. You're out. Yeah,
Joe, you're a tough right. cookie on your gravy.
Yeah. Come to one of my dinner parties. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But no, it was a good film. I certainly wasn't expecting the twist at the end. I never thought I will admit, about halfway through, I started with his friend's girlfriend, Fiona. She was just a little too creepy and how she's showing up in places. I'm like, she's very cultish.
Well, there were little hints along the way too. Like when they would kill somebody on their list, they were saying thank you to him. And
That was the librarian. Yeah.
Right. Well, and the priest too, the priest turned around and said,
yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Right. Thank yeah. you. Yeah.
So
I just figured it's because the priest had it coming.
Well, he had his gravy in a nice bowl. He didn't have it in a Pyrex.
Yeah.
Catherine,
yeah.
What did you think of Kill List?
Yeah, I enjoyed this one. I had never heard of this movie. I wasn't familiar with it at all. So really wasn't sure what to expect going into it. And yeah, like you kind of had mentioned, it starts off, you know, and you're not quite sure where it's going. I actually wrote down at the very top, like, oh, it's, you know, hitmen. They're just like us.
Yeah, you
know, it's kind of, you're just seeing the day-to-day lives of these families, and they got the same troubles we all do, you know, money and kids,
gravy boats,
gravy boats.
You're going on about the gravy boat. I love the little chef's hat on the lamb. He's like, why do these have little chef's hats on?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's like, you know, I've always wondered that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then it takes the turn, you know, and they, you know, when they start going and doing the hit list, Yeah, I was surprised at how brutal it got. You know, lots of good kills.
Yeah.
Lots of gore. And yeah, like the ending, I kind of saw that coming because you do see the little rune marking or whatever it is. You see the girlfriend put it on the mirror and then you see it appear now and again throughout. And so you're like, okay, something's going on here.
But there's no context to it. So it's kind of like, what is happening? But you do have a sense pretty early on that something weird is going on.
Yes. I mean, something weird's going on. Maybe it's a curse. Maybe, you know, you're not sure exactly what it is. But yeah, then by the end, you're like, okay, I see where this is going now.
Right.
But yeah, it was fun. It moved quickly, you know, it kept my interest and it went places I wasn't expecting. So
yeah,
definitely enjoyed watching this one.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed this movie. I think the ending, you know, kind of came out of nowhere. And I agree. Like, why would they just be set up in the woods right there? I mean, I know that they told them where to go, but there's just a lot of variables that, you know, makes you think, where were those people before? You know, it's almost like if you could take the camera and show them waiting, you know, like let them get into position, let them fall asleep, you know. But it was an interesting movie. This was a kind of a, I think it's sort of a lower budget film, and I thought they did pretty well. It's definitely worth checking out. The hammer kill with the guy, I can't remember who was the second one that they killed, the one with the hammer. Was that the librarian? Yeah, that was the librarian.
Yes, that was the librarian.
That kill, well, I think part of the reason that he was being tortured is because of the things that they saw on his computer. You know, obviously it had to do with, you know, he was recording kind of a Red Rooms kind of thing. He was recording children being killed, and these two hitmen who are used to killing people were completely shocked, especially our main guy. So I think that's why he especially went into torturing the guy, and also because he wanted to find out who was doing the recording so we could kill them too. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, this was I thought it was a good movie. And very well done. There's some great, that hammer kill to the librarian guy was pretty gnarly. So good movie. Yeah. I give it 3.5 cuts.
I gave it 3.5 hammer.
Hammers. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Was this a hammer horror?
Right.
Uh-huh. It was definitely hammer time.
Yeah. Okay. So our next one is The Ritual from 2017. Your darkest dream awaits you. That's a little tagline on it, Joe. A group of college friends reunite for a trip to the forest, but encounter a menacing presence in the woods that's stalking them. And this is a movie that I've been wanting to revisit on this show for a while. I really like it. This is one that I think came out. Yeah, it was in 2017. So I remember when it came on Netflix, probably in 2018, I really, really liked this one quite a bit. And I don't think I've revisited it since then. I might've watched it a couple times when it first came to Netflix. And this is such a creepy movie, and it just descends into this blackness, this darkness, and there's a psychological horror element to it as well, but then it's also a creature feature it's got a lot of layers to it, very atmospheric, and I really enjoyed it. I like the relationships between the four guys, the opening setup with the friend that gets killed and our main guy doesn't, you know, he's just like paralyzed with fear. He doesn't do anything to help. And then as it moves along, but when the creature is revealed, it is, I still think it's an incredibly, like unique and interesting reveal for a creature. It's unlike anything really I've seen before, and what the creature is, this kind of godlike figure, It's fantastic to me. So, Catherine, start us off. What do you think? Have you seen The Ritual before, or is this your first time? Not.
Yeah, this was another new one to me. I wasn't familiar at all with this one. And this is one we watched when the hurricane force winds were blowing around outside. Mm-hmm. So it definitely added to the atmosphere of watching this movie. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
This was interesting. Again, it went into it cold, didn't know what we were watching, and definitely gave me kind of Wicker Man, Blair Witch Project vibes. You know, it's the group of guys going out into the woods. They're finding, you know, weird things in a cabin. Yeah. So,
And in fact, cool. These first two movies are very similar, you know, in the way, you know, with at what it turns into.
Symbols and exactly. Cults and things. It was, and what you're saying too about the monster, when you see him for the first time, it's really creepy. I've never seen anything like that before, and you're like, what is this? And I guess we can talk about stuff like kills. It was really cool, like how they had all the bodies like impaled way up high in the trees. I like that. I thought that was something I hadn't really seen before, so that was cool.
And there were old bodies up there.
And you're like, how did that get up there? What's going on? Why are they? And so then when you see the creature, that all kind of makes sense. This was interesting. And I, you know, gave you, like you're saying, it's very layered. You know, there's lots of things going on. You've got the whole setup at the beginning where, you know, it's the guys, they're out planning a trip and it goes to the liquor store and one of them ends up getting killed. And then so they're on this trip that we're watching now, kind of in tribute to their friend that was murdered. And you get the guys have the one guy having flashbacks to
right.
the incident in the liquor store, and the creature seems to be using that. And it's like, well, is that just his guilty conscience coming out and causing him to keep having these flashbacks? Is it, you know, some supernatural force at work? You know, what's going on there? He keeps flashing back and seeing, you know, the death of his friend.
Yeah.
And that seems to keep impacting him and the other guys in the group. So yeah, lots going on. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
And like you said, yeah, it's fascinating. Lots going on here. Lots to chew on.
Yeah. Joe, what did you think of The Ritual?
This movie's fucking aggravating. That's all I gotta say. The first 5 minutes of this movie is so infuriating. I am yelling at the screen, throwing things across the room. Luke is a fucking coward. That just,
is this your first time seeing this?
No, this is my second, and I knew it was coming, and I still feel like this. Yeah. It's terrible. You're going to a liquor store with a friend of yours, and you just sit there and cower behind a shelf of bottles while you allow your friend to get killed in front of you. Don't do anything about it. Yeah. Luke is the guy that plays Luke is Rafe Spall, I believe. Yeah. Rafe Spall, who we'll see in another movie in a couple of minutes. Yep. He's a fantastic actor. He's been in lots of things. He played this part very, very well. Yep. He plays a coward very well. Everyone sort of, stereotyped, you know, Luke was the coward, Hutch is the leader, Phil is the follower, and Dom, of course, is the clumsy fatty. And, you know, somebody's got to be the one that twists their ankle and, you know, don't leave me behind type of thing. But so when they travel into these woods, and the woods are clearly possessed, haunted territory for this awesome, like, unbelievable beast creature. Hands down, this is one of the coolest creature designs ever. It's like the cross between like a moose body and a human turned upside down for the face. Yeah. It's just so weird, bizarre. Yeah. And there's that scene towards the end of the movie where there's this moonlight lighting it from behind, and just sort of in silhouette. And it's so awesome. So I absolutely love that. But I do have questions about why Luke. I know we're seeing a lot of this from Luke's perspective. He'll be running through the woods, and then all of a sudden he's running through the same liquor store that he watched his friend get killed in.
Well, but they explain that.
So it's because he's got all of the, he's at his weakest. Is that it?
He's in so much. I think the girl tells him it's because he's in so much pain, and the God knows that. And that's right. Why the God has chosen him, because he's in so much pain, and it kind of thrives on that.
So the people that suffer the most are allowed to stay and live.
I think so. Well, maybe, I don't know. They didn't
but everybody else, the other three guys get the short end of the stick because they're not cowards.
Yeah. Well, right? Or they're
suffering and
they're not suffering for inaction, I guess. Yeah. He's suffering for it. Yeah.
But I'm like, this is part of the reason why the movie infuriates me, is because it starts off and he's a coward and he gets away with it. And what happens at the end? He's a coward and he gets away with it. There's no story arc for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he attacked the God. He hit him with an axe, shot at him.
Yeah, but he ran away.
Well, but what are you gonna do? What's he gonna do? Kill the God? And then he screams at the God, and the God's like, "All right."
Wanted something bad to happen to Luke. He had it coming. Just hated him so much. Okay, and there's a little bit of trivia. The actual tagline of this film originally was, "They should have gone to Vegas." But at the time that the movie, like right before the movie came out, that's when the sniper shooting was going on in Vegas. So they had to drop it. They nixed it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So, well, This movie is directed by David Bruckner, who also directed The Night House, which we both really loved. And the new Hellraiser. He also directed, I think, something in a couple of the VHS movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you already talked about it. Okay. Yeah. So, last but not least, certainly not least, it's one of the best movies of the 2000s, and it's just a classic horror film, and that is, of course, Shaun of the Dead, directed by the great Edgar Wright. A romantic comedy with zombies is the tagline, or at least that's what the tagline on Letterboxd is. Shaun lives a supremely uneventful life, which revolves around his girlfriend, his mother, and above all, his local pub. This gentle routine is threatened when dead return to life and make strenuous attempts to snack on ordinary Londoners. So, of course, this is starring Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Kate Ashfield, a bunch of other people. Bill Nighy, of course, plays his stepfather. Bill Nighy he's such a creepy guy in general. Like, he could just talk and it just comes off as creepy. I think he was Davy Jones in the second Pirates movie. And you know, CGI all over him. And then Penelope Wilton is fantastic. I love her. She was in Downton Abbey as Mrs. I think Crawley, Matthew Crawley's mom. And she was also, I think she's been in some Doctor Who episodes or whatever, but she's always fantastic. And of course, Simon Pegg is just amazing. This, of course, was written by Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright, and is a part of their trilogy, which now is escaping me. What's the name of the trilogy?
Cornetto.
Yeah,
the Cornetto trilogy.
That's right.
You forgot one cast member.
Two.
Martin Freeman.
Oh,
the guy that played Bilbo.
Yeah, that's right.
He has no speaking lines at all. He's just one of the doppelgangers of the gang.
Yeah, he plays I
just love the fact that he's in there.
Basically the Simon Pegg character for their gang.
Equivalent of Simon Pegg. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no. No, because the girl would be Simon Pegg.
Oh.
Of the group that they meet up with.
Oh, and so then, he's his girlfriend. He's his girlfriend's. So
it would be the guy that is actually in love with Simon's girlfriend or with Sean's girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's who Martin Freeman would be the doppelganger for.
So Joe, what are your thoughts on Shaun of the Dead?
So I've seen this movie countless times. I dare to even think hard enough to figure out about how many, but I keep finding things about it that I didn't notice before that I absolutely love. And I kick myself that I didn't know this one, but Simon Pegg's character's mother is Barbara. And there's a scene where they're calling her on the phone and they're telling, you know, we're coming to get you, Barbara. I had no idea that that was a reference to George A. Romero's Night of the Living Dead.
That's funny.
And apparently, with the research that I did, apparently neither did George Romero. He had a private screening of this because Edgar Wright called him and, you know, asked permission and all this other stuff. And he said, sure, great, that's fantastic. And they did a private screening. And it wasn't until after he had seen it later on, they're like, well, that was like a tribute to you, that line. He didn't even get it.
Oh, that's hilarious. So,
I will say, and I know Edgar Wright does this quite a bit, but I'm a huge fan of it. I love all the quick jump cut transitions, like in the morning when he's when they're trying to show him making breakfast. It's just like 1 second of a jelly scraping across toast and some coffee or whatever. I love those transitions.
It definitely works for this a lot. Very well.
Yes. Yeah. What else did I have? Oh, the soundtrack is absolutely phenomenal. Any movie that starts off with Ghost Town by the Specials, it can't get you can't get much better than this. The whole
Michelle
soundtrack is just phenomenal.
When we were watching this, Michelle was like, oh, Joe's going to love this. As soon as the opening music started, you know, she's like, ska, Joe's going to love this.
Yeah. Like, yep. Yeah. I also want to say, for the record, I did look this up. Dogs can look up. just so there's no more questioning it?
Yeah, no, of course they can.
To a degree. Well, yeah, they can to a degree. But not as much as humans can.
We live right under a flight path. And when we first moved into this house, we were in the backyard with our dog, and she looked up and watched the plane go overhead. But yeah, obviously you hold a treat above them, they look up at it.
Yeah. And just because I am who I am, that gun at the Winchester is a 1866 Yellow Boy.
Winchester. Oh, nice. Yeah. So. Thank God. I was wondering that.
I knew you wouldn't be able to sleep if I didn't do the research on that gun.
Yeah.
So, but this is phenomenal. I for those of you that haven't seen the other two movies in the Cornetto trilogy, the next would be Hot Fuzz, which is a fantastic spoof, I guess, or tribute, whatever you want to call it, to police movies, but in Great Britain. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, last is was At World's End, or just World's End, which could be construed as kind of a horror movie. An invasion film, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're fantastic. And the one thing they have in common is what we would call like ice cream drumsticks in the US. Their brand name over there is Cornetto. So that's why it's called the Cornetto trilogy. But Edgar Wright knocks it out of the park once again.
Yeah. No, this is terrific. Catherine, what do you think of Shaun of the Dead? Have you seen it before?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. We actually own this one. So.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is great. It's a fun movie. You know, you can't go wrong. And Simon Pegg is just awesome. He's great in everything.
Yeah.
100%. So anything he's in is terrific. And I love just the humor in this. I love the whole kind of opening scene where you see his, you know, daily routine, and you know, everybody around him's already acting like a zombie. And then, you know, when you get that second replay of it, you know, now that the zombie apocalypse is all upon us, and you know, it's the exact same thing, and he doesn't
the
notice
people
any
aren't
different.
That different. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just genius. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. And something I learned just looking through some of the trivia on this is how much of this movie was inspired by Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright TV show called Spaced, which is terrific. If you haven't seen that, I highly recommend checking that out.
But I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And
do you know if that's available anywhere in particular?
I don't know. We watched it years ago.
Oh, okay.
I haven't looked recently, but if you can track it down, it's great. And one of the episodes in the show inspired this movie, and a lot of the zombies that they used in the movie were from the Spaced fan club.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
Spaced is available on Tubi.
Nice.
I might have to rewatch that.
How many seasons are there? British shows usually only do a couple, maybe
it's
one.
Nothing, it's not that long. I don't remember it being that many episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's two seasons on Tubi.
Oh, is it two seasons? Okay.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if that's all they ever made, but there's two.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's typical British shows. They don't do a lot of seasons often. Yeah.
But definitely recommend checking it out. It's the same kind of humor.
Nice.
No, this is a great movie. It's a lot of fun and always nice to turn it on.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why do they not like using the word zombie?
I think it's just, you know, it's such a cliche. And then that's the inside joke of the movie is, you know, don't say zombies, you know.
Is it the inside joke of the movie, or is that a genre thing? Because how many movies actually refer to them as zombies? I thought maybe that was part of the gag. Because, like, I don't think they call them zombies in Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Good question.
I don't know. You stumped us, Joe.
I'm full, Catherine.
I got to do some research and get back to you.
Questions on Ponton type of questions.
He's the question meister.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, why don't you Google that? use your fingers. So, So anyway, Shaun of the Dead. Yes, this one is... I just think it's a classic. It's so much fun. It's fun. And, you know, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say it's scary, but it definitely has violence and some gore in it, especially when the boyfriend of her best friend is killed. I mean, they rip him up and it, you know, there's some excitement there, but it also, I love the ending, you know, the Queen song at the end with him and his buddy in the shed, but he's a zombie, but he still kind of plays video games, you know, because it seems like a lot of the zombies still kind of do the things they did before, if they're not eating.
I love
someone.
That montage of what they're doing now.
Right. Yeah. And then, yes, that I always get a kick out of the opening bit where he's going to work and basically everybody around him is already kind of a zombie. So it's not a huge difference, but,
Do you want your answer?
Yeah. What's the answer, Joe?
I Googled it. So movies often avoid calling the undead creatures zombies because it allows the story to feel more grounded in a world where people wouldn't have prior knowledge of zombie lore.
Ah. Huh. And that's why they didn't do it in this one.
Because before Shaun of the Dead in that particular universe, there were no such things as zombies.
Yeah.
But yet the word existed. I don't know. Yeah. That's just weird to me.
I just took it as like Simon Pegg was like, don't say that. That's ridiculous. You know, as what's
like
happening.
Admitting,
right.
It's admitting how just obscene this whole thing is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in Night of the Living Dead, they don't use the term zombie. They call them ghouls.
Oh, that's right. Oh. That's right. Yeah, that's right. I don't know when, I mean, zombies, the term zombie has been around for a long time. I mean, there were zombie movies before Night of the Living Dead. So,
right.
But at any rate, all right. Well, that is, Shaun of the Dead and the pick of the week, which was, pick of the episode, which was Brit Horror. So the next pick is Joe's. So Joe, what are you going to make us watch this next time?
Watch is the operative phrase.
No.
So I did a little experiment that kind of spun off a couple of things that actually I got to attribute this to something somebody mentioned in the Midnight Monster forums. Mm. So I got on, speaking of Tubi, I got onto Tubi and I typed in one word. Massacre. Okay. Matt, I'd like you to guess how many movie titles showed up by typing the word massacre into the Tubi search
100.
Bar.
100.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I'm going to go with what Catherine says, 100. I'm going to say 75.
67.
Oh.
Would you like me to read them all? Because
than either Catherine or I were thinking.
I was expecting you guys to say like six.
No.
No, there were 67 different titles.
That is a lot.
I made a list of every single
one. That's just
them.
On Tubi.
Yeah.
That's just on Tubi. Yes. I made, for some reason, I listed every one of them in alphabetical order and also wrote down their IMDb score. But because of this, I figured, why not watch some of these wonderful masterpieces? And I'm going to call the title of this, It's a Tubi Massacre.
I love it. I was just thinking that. Yeah.
So we are going to watch these three films. And obviously, all of them are available for free at Tubi.
At Tubi.
Yes. So it's like Tubi should be sponsoring this episode.
Yeah, that's true.
So the first thing we're going to watch is called Funhouse Massacre from 2015, starring Robert Englund and Clint Howard.
Oh, fun.
All right. I may have seen this.
I haven't seen any of these.
From 2015?
2015.
Okay. Yeah, no, I haven't seen this.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
The second one is...
Oh, Jesus Christ, Joe. This looks terrible.
Hey, if you know what? I can go back to this well 64 more times.
Yes, you sure can. Yeah, it's going to be Tubi Massacre Redux. Yep.
Yeah. Part 7.
Yeah.
So the next one we're going to watch from 1976, Massacre at Central High. Starring Kimberly Beck, who played Trish in Friday the 13th, the final chapter, and Laurie O'Grady, who was from Eight is Enough.
Huh. Interesting. More out of that. Massacre anyway, okay. at Central High from 1976.
Oh
my God.
Wonderful.
And did you choose this because your kids both went to Davenport Central High?
No, and actually it had nothing to do with this. I've got 67 of these things to go through.
Well, that's true.
And I'm just like, I started off just looking at cover art. I'm like, I got to get more into this. So then I started looking up each one, and then I'm like, maybe just some from different decades. And so we've got the 2015.
I'm looking at it on my Letterboxd, Joe, and this one, actually, the reviews from people I follow aren't that bad, like three and a half stars. Well, not bad.
6.1 on IMDb.
Oh,
so not bad. Don't massacre shame me yet, Matt.
I'm not yet. I mean, we're close. That last one.
All right, I'm going to lose it on the last one, though. So the last one we're going to watch is called Mountaintop Motel Massacre.
Oh, God.
1983.
Mountain.
Starring no one anyone would know.
Motel?
Mountaintop Motel Massacre.
Oh, Jesus.
Motel Mountaintop.
Oh God, the cover.
Motel massacre. Oh,
the cover on
room
this.
Number 13. Yeah.
Oh Jesus. Oh yeah, I've got a lot of one stars from my friends on this one. Oh boy. Yeah.
So this will be fun.
What this one guy I follow, his review is technically not false advertising. Oh boy, God damn it, Joe.
This will be fun.
There's any stars in this movie, Joe?
Not in that last one. No.
Yeah, no. All right. So
we saved them all up for the first two.
Well, this is going to be easy. Tubi saves the day. Yeah. Let's see. I remember when we did our clown episode way back before we even really had a good format going. And Tubi did a lot of the heavy lifting for that episode. Yeah. There were a lot
you
of clown
type in the
movies.
Word clown and oh my God, it's probably more than massacre.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Cause so, I think they're even including horror movies that have clowns in them, but not necessarily in the title.
Yes.
Like It would show up.
Yeah.
Cause they've done their research. They know if you're looking for clowns, they know what to deliver. They're Tubi. Damn it.
The Funhouse Massacre is actually on several services. It's also on Peacock, Amazon, like regular Amazon Prime. It's on Plex. It's on quite a bit. So, yeah.
It's legit.
If you're averse to Tubi, you don't have to watch the
commercials.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'm looking forward to these. These will be kind of fun. So, and Catherine, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you so much for inviting me back. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's always nice having you and having a third person to break up the Joe and Matt train.
Speaking of the Joe and Matt train, mm-hmm. release the Joe train.
Yeah.
I have a poem, if you would allow me to read.
Sure.
If you wouldn't mind. Yeah. I got to get my spectacles on.
Did you write this poem?
No, I did not. Huh. But you may be familiar with it. It's just, it's got to be out on the wave. So,
all right.
Cheer, cheer for old Notre Dame. Wake up the echoes, cheering her name. Send a volley cheer on high. Shake down the thunder from the sky. What through the odds, be great or small, old Notre Dame will win over all, while her loyal sons and daughters march on to victory. So if you could all, and in the Cinescare family, help me root for Notre Dame in the national championships on Monday the 20th, I would appreciate it.
Joe is a big fan of Notre Dame, and so he's very pleased, very happy about. And I'll be rooting for Notre Dame for sure, over Ohio State for sure. Yeah. So
nothing good ever came out of Ohio.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I guess that's it for this week. So go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merchandise. Also, please go onto YouTube and follow the Cinescare channel on YouTube. We've got a trailer out for the new movie, and we're hopefully going to be hearing from some. It's playing at, I'm sorry, I should mention this. It's playing, anybody who's in the Tampa Bay area, it's going to be playing at the Tampa Bay Screams Film Festival, which is going to be Sunday. I guess the 19th, is that this Sunday?
Yes, it is.
So it's going to be playing on the 19th at the Tampa Bay Screams Horror Convention 2025. Let me see if there's a schedule for, I believe it's playing on, yeah, I think the whole thing is on Sunday. So it's going to be playing on Sunday on Halloween night. Yeah. And we're not, I mean, there's only, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 9 movies that they selected out of this, like however many hundreds of movies that were picked. And so it's on there. It's going to be playing. It doesn't say what time, but the film festival starts at 1 p.m. And ours is I would imagine, well, they're all shorts, so it won't take that long. So I would imagine that part of it will
get there early. You want a good seat.
Yeah. So, yeah. But like it'll be the world premiere of On Halloween Night. I guess I just thought of that. Yeah. The world premiere of On Halloween Night will be playing there. So, very proud. And it looks like a pretty good convention. There's a lot of, people, a lot of actors from different horror movies and horror celebrities, including the composer Alan Haworth, who composed a lot of the Halloween movies after part one. And he composed Halloween 4, and he's worked with John Carpenter quite a lot. He also composed the soundtrack to The Thing, Christine, Escape from New York, Halloween 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Army of Darkness, Prince of Darkness, and John Carpenter's The Thing. Big Trouble in Little China, which I don't think you've seen yet, Joe.
No.
But maybe hold off on that because that might be part of my next pick. Perhaps it's not really horror, but it's kind of horror. So maybe I'll do a Is It Horror episode. I don't know. But you do need to watch that. So
I heard John Carpenter might actually be at that convention.
Well, that would be fantastic, but it is not listed here, and I would imagine that would not be something they'd keep secret. So, and where is it?
Made it up.
It's at the.
Who knows? There's only one way to know for sure. You better go check it out.
Yeah, you got to go.
Maybe I'm a bald-faced liar. Who knows?
Maybe he will be there. I don't know. So it's at the OCC Roadhouse and Museum in Clearwater, Florida. That's the Tampa Bay Screams Film Festival, or actually it's a horror convention. So
Carrot Top will be there too.
I wish I could be
prove me wrong.
Yeah. So I guess that's it for this week. We will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
He was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
You're